I think I finally figured out how it... Ah, never mind. This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for August 11th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Hello, what's going on? What's happening over there? What are you doing? What say you? Speak up, man. Welcome back to the show. This is Boop, and it's Monday edition. Like I said, the 11th of August. August is going pretty quick. That's all right, man. I'm okay with it. You guys notice that the more you play a game, I think anyway, the more you start to see how the sausage is made. Does that make sense? I don't mean like you can see the cracks or the problems or the goof-ups or... why something's, you know, too repetitive or whatever. I mean, all games become repetitive if you play them long enough. I don't mean that. I mean, okay, there are certain games that make you want to just keep going. One more time. The ultimate in one more time games. Things that spring to mind would be like Civilization, the entire series really had kind of a one more time problem with it. A problem for us, not them. I mean, you would succumb to that problem. You would want to go one more time. One more turn. That's all I need. One more turn. Ooh, that was a turn? Yeah, but something happened there, and now I would like to go one more turn. Just one more turn, and before you know it, it's 4 a.m. And you've lost a day to the insidious nature of that kind of mechanic. So I was thinking about this while I was playing Rogue Legacy on the Vita, which I finally caved and bought. Wasn't a hard cave. It just took me a little longer than I had previously planned. And it's because I had the PC version and played that kind of to death. So I thought, well, why would I spend more money on this? And the answer is because that game is insane and the crossplay features are really nice. And more importantly, having it portably on a Vita is a pretty strong case for buying that game again. It's really good to play on there. Someone's calling me. I'm going to mute that now. Mute. Where was I at with that? Oh, that game is, it's got a real strong, one more time vibe to it as well. And it's such a simple thing that I think I figured out. So simple. I'm pissed that it took me this long to unearth it. Okay. And that's this: when you die in that game, you only carry the money over that you had earned with the current character. All other things about you and you as a character and all the progress you made, gone. Now you can lock down the level. There's a long bunch of stories here I could tell you about how the game works that you'll just either you already know this or you'd have to play it to understand. I don't want to over-explain it. That stuff's all fine. You are excited to have more money to unlock traits and attributes that do carry through the game. They are persistent. But there's this order to things that I think is the trick here. And the order is this: you die and you're immediately put to a screen that lets you see your results, and you hit X to continue, and now you're at a screen where it says X to go. Now, it doesn't take you to spend your money. It takes you to pick a new heir or a new character to play. That's insidious, man. Because you're committing to play around before you've even cared about what you have money to spend on. In other words, if they had you go and spend your money first, unlock a thing, put on a new piece of gear, whatever, you might just go, okay, I'm good. I don't need to play anymore. I'll save this for tomorrow, right? You could do that and likely would do that more often. But because they make you pick a new character, the momentum is there. You've got a dude or a lady and it's time to roll. Then you go spend your money. Then you go unlock your stuff. Then you put on your gear. Then you do whatever you do. But having picked your character, you have committed to move forward, and there ain't no turning back. L- Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the news. Let's talk about gaming news for this fine Monday. A fair number of things happen over the weekend. Let's get into it. Gamescom starts tomorrow. You're getting keynotes from Microsoft, from Sony, from Electronic Arts, among others. What do you guys want out of that event? What do you expect? What do you need? I mean, do you expect Microsoft to get up and go, here's the new non-bundled connectless thing unit, 360, Xbox One deal. And it's white. And it's rad. And it's cheaper. I'm interested in that. Do they announce that there, though? Maybe. What does Sony do? Honestly, I feel like Sony's showing all their cards. I'll bet they show some actual games surrounding Project Morpheus. So that's less of a tech demo and more of a game device. But other than that, they've kind of played all their cards this year. We know what games are coming. We know what's happening. What's a PlayStation On or whatever it is? Is that what it's called? Anyway, that thing's already in beta. That's already a known quantity. But it's getting bigger every year, this event. You know, and it's often the place second only to like E3 where big, big stuff gets announced. So, I suspect we'll hear a lot from publishers, developers, and from the big three. Although, I don't know, Nintendo doesn't do much there, do they? Don't they kind of save their international push for, what is it? I want to call it WonderCon. That's totally wrong, of course. What is it called? Wonder World, Toy World, Magic World, Nintendo Land World, Nintendo World? World. Yeah. Got an update on the Twitch CEO saying stuff story about Twitch and their weird thing we talked about last week. The in-game music muting was, quote-unquote, a mistake. And they have other things to say. I kind of knew. I mean, there was so much blowback. You knew they had to get up and say something, right? Video game streaming service Twitch has modified many of its recent controversial policy changes. In response to user feedback, announcing that streamers will now be able to appeal muted content, matched audio, and archived videos. That was already kind of rumored. Now they've confirmed it. So you can say, nope, I am legal here. I don't understand what the problem is. I want to appeal this decision. That's a good thing. They say this. CEO Emmett also revealed that the policy will only apply to archive content, and users will not be muted during live streaming sessions. I would say not yet, but that's what they're saying. You will not be muted during your live session. Quote, we have no intention whatsoever of bringing audio recognition to live streams on Twitch. This is a video on demand only change for Twitch. This is only the archival stuff. This is not live streams. Here's my question. That's great. Okay. I get it. Does that mean, A, they're paying some kind of licensing thing in order to do that? Because I ask that because it doesn't make it any less illegal, right? If it's illegal to have it in the VODs, in the stored videos, what's the difference here? It's still illegal. So what'd you do different? Did you do just something different? Are you paying somebody? They didn't get into that. Justin Wong, Grand Theft Auto series speedrunner Adam Kazgirski, reports that additional site-wide changes are in the works. This according to Twitch Partnerships and Strategy VP Justin Wong. Says this will eventually result in lengthier archived highlights, shorter stream delays, and more precise flagging of matched audio, among other improvements. Still doesn't answer my question about if you are the legal licensee or you're someone who has legally licensed the music to play it, but you don't have a way to tell Twitch that you are, and they don't have a way to ask you that or confirm that, does that still mean your stuff's going to get muted? Sounds like it probably will. While you weren't looking, Goddess came out on iOS, and it came out for free. Remember this deal here? DNA is the publisher. Peter Molyneux's little offshoot joint. This game's been in early access on Steam for a while. I bought it. I have not been pleased. I don't like it very much. I want to like it more. I haven't tried the iOS port, so I'll probably try that in the next couple of days. Maybe report on Thursday what I think. But I don't know, man. I just feel like it's too clicky and progression feels not progressy enough. And I don't feel like I'm doing much. It's an odd, the style of it, like the look of it, it's what attracted me to it in the first place. And I've gotten bitten by this before. You know, you see a Kickstarter and the graphics are like, whoa, and you just can't wait to see it in action. And it doesn't disappoint there. I really do like the style they went with. But man, I don't know. That game feels slow and boring. I want more from my populist creator, Peter Molyneux and his crew over there. So anyway, I'll try out the iPad version, see what I think. Have you guys played it? What do you think? Sierra is returning legitimately. Really? What? Sierra, remember them? Published Half-Life. Do you guys remember that? They published Half-Life. They also published all my favorite city builder games. Speaking of city building games, I like the Caesar series and your Rise of the Middle Kingdom, Zeus, Pharaoh. Great games, man. Those are so good. Those were published by Sierra. At least some of them were, maybe not all of them. But anyway, Sierra was a big name back in the day. King's Quest, Gabriel Knight, Space Quest, Police Quest. Do you guys remember Police Quest? I played that. Activision has something planned for the long dormant Sierra brand. This according to joystick.com. And they're going to show us at 2014's Gamescom, which again starts tomorrow, which will take place next week. This was last week. They said that. This says Sierra spent years as something we speak fondly of, but mostly entirely in the context of good old games sales, and that's true. But they had a special relationship with LucasArts and others at the time, kind of a big deal. So anyway, there's a teaser site that's live now, has a fresh new Sierra logo, and we don't know what any of that means. We don't know what's happening with it. It bounced around for decades between hands, eventually ended up with the whole Vivendi Activision deal, that $8 billion deal that happened, and that ended up in their hands. So I don't know what they intend to do with it. It seems a little weird that you just trot out a logo and not have any games to show, but whatever. Beta characters will not transfer to the full version of Destiny. I knew it. That's why I stopped playing. I mean, this is the norm. We get it. Betas, right? Betas for RPGs and MMOs and stuff. That this is the normal thing. You character wipe before release. I shouldn't say never. Very rarely does a game let you carry that stuff over. And usually the games that do are the ones that are struggling very hard to get an audience at launch. So they want to give extra perks. And one of those is to carry over your progress. But a lot of people don't like that because, you know, beta testers get a huge head start. And who knows if other people even had an opportunity to beta test or not. My feeling is I want to play that game and I want to play it hard. And I didn't want to lose all that progression in the beta. So I played enough to know that I was going to love this thing, and then I stopped. So I will not be stressed out about this. If you at home thought your beta characters would carry over, you, sir, are smoking the crack. They are totally doing a Resident Evil TV show. This is real. I'm not making this up. A production company called Mance Media, not to be confused with Mance Raider, from the Game of the Thrones, is in the midst of developing a television show based on Capcom's Resident Evil franchise. Bloody Disgusting reports. This is who brought this to our attention. Let's see. Arklay creator Sean Christopher Liebert, he'd have to tell me if I'm getting that wrong, describes the show as a thrilling detective drama in the vein of films like Seven and shows like Hannibal. I'll bet it's not nearly as good as either of those two things. I know I'm being a little cynical here, but you've seen the movies, right? Now, I know this isn't the same people necessarily. They may totally blow my mind. Resident Evil is a weird property to get excited about. Time will tell. Run, Forest, Run is totally on the iOS App Store. The game I thought should have been made years ago. Why hasn't this been done before? The minute Temple Run got any traction at all, somebody over at wherever that property's owned, Universal or Paramount or whoever, should have said, dude, we should have an endless runner that features Forrest Gump. Duh. I mean, really. Half the time I played that game, I pretended it was Forrest Gump anyway. What took him so long? It's free to play. Go check it out. Run, Forrest, Run. Actually, it looks all right. I have not played it enough to give any kind of definitive review. But as these things go, like the Bull Run one that... who does that? Zynga does that? Yeah. That, Temple Run and all, you know, whatever. There's a bunch of these kind of things. This looks like it's fine. If you're into that, I don't know why you would be, but if you're into those still, and they have some merit, I mean, whatever, you're sitting in a doctor's office waiting for whatever, why not? Why not do that? Run, Forrest, Run on the App Store now. Night Trap has been revamped, or wants to be revamped. Revamped? Revamped. However you want to say it, the iconic full motion video game that I had on my Sega CD way back in the day that places you in the leading role of a horror movie is set to make its return in a new high-def format. Quite literally, a bunch of the dudes responsible for the original Night Trap are kickstarting a project to bring it back, and bring it back in a big way. I'll give you a little bit of stuff here. By the way, you can follow these guys at Night Trap on Twitter. I don't know how they got that. A group of teens has arrived at the isolated, Martian home. Really? It's a Martian home? Oh, Martin home. For a weekend of fun and partying, but at the house where the sinister host possessed strange powers, a creepy neighbor has invented a deadly laser weapon. Blah, blah, blah. You know the rest. I don't want to spoil the finer points of that story. But if you remember, at the time, this was hugely controversial. It had Dana Plato in it, who would shortly after this commit suicide. Not because of this. I don't want to tie those two things together. She was famous for different strokes. Some of you kids at home may not know what the hell I'm talking about, and that's okay. But it was controversial for its violent, what people and lawmakers perceived as very violent imagery. And it just seemed like video games are going down a dark path. And now it's laughable because that thing is terrible. Go YouTube some of the clips, and it's just ridiculous. But it has some history. Certainly has a place in the lore of video game history in the last 25 years. So if you want to support it, go check out Night Trap Revamped on Kickstarter now. They're at $6,000 roughly of their needed or their required $330,000. 29 days to go. I have a feeling, this is just my guts here saying this, but I have a feeling they are not going to hit it. I don't know why. I think they should have been off to a stronger start if this was going to have legs. And I'm not sure any of us care that much about Night Trap. Because here's the truth. That was mostly hype. It is not. It was never very good. It was not good then. It's not good now. It was a big ball of hype wrapped in another ball of hype. Okay? Oh, boy. Hotline Miami. Remember that piece of game there? I actually really like that game. I have the Vita version of that and the PC version. Hotline Miami is coming to the PS4 on August 19th. So this is, I guess it'd be next week. Sony just announced it, though. Not sure why they just announced it. I swear this was brought up at the indie conference, not this E3, but year previous, when they had the whole like bunch of indies all standing around talking about their games coming. Could have sworn this was one of them, but they're saying they're just announcing it. According to Kotaku.com, gamers can now use the DualShock 4's touchpad to look around and lock on enemies and actually shake the controller itself to perform execution moves when you have an enemy pinned on the ground. And to take the violence to the next level, the sounds of those same execution moves are amplified through the speaker on the DualShock 4 itself. That's from Sony. And they put the word ouch in there. Right? The word ouch. Oh, yeah. Hey, we got a call.
Hi, Scott. It's Chris from Pennsylvania. Had a question for you. I recently started playing the Google alternate reality game Ingress. It's basically a game that overlays a virtual reality world onto the real world, and it's played rather than sitting down at a desk out in the real world. You have to walk around, get some exercise, and interact with things in your environment, somewhat like geocaching. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on this type of game. What you think might be in store for the future. I could see this being a very in-depth sort of game. Right now, it's kind of like a real-world MMO. And I wanted to see if you had any experience and maybe your thoughts on it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I am interested in these things. I think it's off to a rocky start. Remember that one a few years ago? And I want to see, was it EA or somebody big was trying to do it? And it was a similar thing, used augmented reality, or maybe it was even less than that. It was like, you know what it was? It was like faxes and emails generated that would be sent to you automatically and stuff like that. I believed then and I believe now that this is, there is a real potential for this, but it's going to take somebody making something amazing. And maybe this one you're playing is, I don't know. I've not heard enough hype about it to say. And whether gamers want to truly live in a artificial fantasy world or go out in the real one and you know, sort of play within that is a, still a big question. I mean, geocaching for all of its admirers and partakers, is it really that mainstream? Seems like it's still a little bit small. So I don't know. I don't know what the real potential of it is, but I think it's going to be, you're going to see more of these come out, but you're going to be, you're going to see less. Well, let's put it this way. I don't think we're going to see very many that are hybrids of two. In other words, there won't be like an MMO game and then some kind of real world component to it that is all that meaningful. Is it Resistance? Is it Resistance? Crap, forget the name. Anyway, the sci-fi show. Is it Resistance? Oh, whatever it is. They've got that game from Trion Worlds, right? The MMO slash action-y kind of deal, which I played and quite enjoyed. There's an example of where they've taken, you know, here's a TV show and here's a game tied into it, and the events in the show sometimes are reflected in the game and vice versa. I don't ever think those things ever work out very well. It's just too much of a gimmick. Not unlike Night Trap, if you want the truth. Settle into some user reviews, emails, and suggestions. Look, it's the show's evolving. I'm changing the name of things. Don't like it? Tough poo. All right. Let's start with an email. No, let's do an, you know, let's do a review first. I like these. I got some good ones today. These are zero-star reviews or zero-point reviews from Metacritic in today's case. I have two of them. One of them is from Bloody Russ for Watch Dogs 360, 360 version of Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs, here's his exact quote. You might notice that I go for the ones that are terrible English because I think they're funny. And this is pretty bad. But keep in mind, I don't pick them because they're trolly or mean. I pick them because they sound funny. All right, that's the reason. Watch Dogs, a major disappointment of 2014. However, hello, it says. Again, I'm reading these word for word. Game like tomorrow goes on the shelves, and I can tell you one thing, your money is not worth it at all. The fact that Ubisoft, looking at success of GTA series, decide to make your GTA not whores, but with smartphones. Especially that engine team that is concept is. Benefit Ubikiki. Maybe very prolibnity. Game series about Ashkenofalofakoff. And implage on all living things. I read that word for word, guys. I was not making that up. Bulbatrax says this of Mario Kart 8 with his zero-star review. This is not racing game. It's is the lottery games. What's that? It's is the lottery games. We got a follow-up on an email here from Supa regarding the lawsuit against Killzone's lack of 1080p content in multiplayer as promised on the box. He says this, I believe people jump at the chance to sue anyone and everything over any little thing in this country. However, the publishers and developers need to be held accountable for intentional fraudulent advertising. As you know, Scott, resolution is a huge part of how well a game graphically looks. And with many of these games and next-gen consoles often boasting how well they look and the jump in graphical improvements, 1080p needs to be the standard. Also love the newer shows. Boop and the Diablo Show are some awesome sauce. Long live PC gaming. Supa. Yeah, I mean, I'm not happy that they claimed anything. I just don't know that you should sue over it. Well, I mean, what do you do? Maybe they should sue. At some point, you do, you know, you want to protect your rights. I'm just the kind of guy that if I got that, I'd go, well, fool me once, you know, shame on you or me. Yeah, shame on me. How's it go? Whatever. I'm like George Bush here. I tend to just move on and go, well, whatever. I got suckered. Again, let's go back to Night Trap. That game was supposed to be this revolutionary interactive piece of entertainment experience, and it really wasn't. It was kind of terrible. Someone should have sued them for not delivering on all the promises they made. Now, maybe the difference here is that 1080p is a very granular, specific technical point that you can prove or disprove, whereas it's a subjective experience to say that Night Trap was any good or not, or was, you know, lived up to the hype or not. I understand that, but I don't know. I tend to just move on to the next thing. I pick my battles. How about that? That's what I'm saying. Pick your freaking battles. There's nothing wrong with trying to mitigate that. Got another email here from Mink, who says, over the last 5 years, you've spent 3,543.2 hours playing this selection, which includes 161 items. It's valued at $2,573.97 and requires 785 gig. This is him playing. This is him doing his Steam / played. MySteamGauge.com is where you do this, by the way. He says, well over 1,000 of those hours were in Civ 4 and 5. Realizing that 147.6 days over the last 5 years, that's 8% of my life so far, which is way less than I would have guessed. That said, maybe the upcoming beach vacation is a good thing. Mink. And this doesn't count the Mass Effect trilogy on your PC, which he mentions he may have spent 400 hours or so, a couple of playthroughs. So right up there at like 10% of your life. 10% is a lot, dude. 10% is a lot. You know? Like, that weirds me out.
Hey, Scott Johnson. Just listened to the first Boop show and had an idea. I've never seen a kid review show for parents, and would love a segment with kid reviews of games that are relevant for kids and kind of talk a little bit about the, you know, maturity rating, that kind of thing. Love the show, though. Bye.
All right. There are a bunch of podcasts that do this very thing. They're shows from the perspective of parents trying to rate video games and maybe other content for kids, like age-appropriate reviews and things like that. I don't know if it fits here so much as, you know, the focus here is your emails and feedback, of course. That's one of them. But also, I want to focus on news and commentary. So I don't know if this is the place for it. However, somebody approached me and said, hey, I've got a great 2-minute review idea that I want you to tack onto the end of the show each week. I wouldn't necessarily turn you down. So if somebody is interested, email me. boopshow@gmail.com. By the way, people who call in and leave messages like that, they do it through a phone line, 206-339-1320. Use it now, use it often, and you'll get your thing on the show. Keep it short, though. That's always best. Got one more email. Scott, can you please stop saying everything? Sorry. Can you? He's capitalized so much I screwed that up. This is Audie. Could you please stop saying every good game has been pushed back to 2015? I don't think I said every good game. Bungie's Destiny is still coming out September 9th of this year, of our Lord, 2014. All snark aside, it is one game that I've been looking forward to for a long time, and it kills me you keep forgetting this one. Audie. No, I didn't forget. And there are other games, surely, that are coming out this year. And I don't mean to lace some of my comments in so much hyperbole. I really don't think that every good game is being pushed to 2015. Clearly, that isn't true. Destiny's a great example of that, or at least appears to be. But you've got to admit, a lot of big stuff has been pushed. It's not like I'm exaggerating that a lot of games have been pushed. Big titles people were really looking forward to have been pushed. That is the truth. I do have one more email. Boop! Hi, Scott. This is from Tony. He's from Fontana, California. Fontana. That sounds like the chief of police who's trying to remind the captain, you know what, you're going to lose your badge if you keep wrecking these squad cars, and we got to get Mendoza, right? That's what he sounds like. Captain Chief Fontana is his name. Anyway, he says, I have a question. What are some games that made you cry or gave you a punch in the gut? For me, it was Last of Us. Great show. Boop. He put the boops in there. Yeah, Tony, I'm with you, man. That game had him. Portal 2 really got to me for some reason. Don't know why. But I had some genuine moments in there. But I'll tell you what, one of the games that gave me the most feels or the most kind of emotional reaction to what it was presenting to me was Thomas was alone. Very two-dimensional, very old-school looking game that didn't do much in terms of graphics, but man, the story it told and the world it created and just the feeling it had was like something I haven't played in a long time. So I would recommend that one. It's not going to be as hard hitting as say The Last of Us in terms of its subject matter, but if you're looking for an emotional game experience that resonates, you could do a whole lot worse than that. So check it out. I think you'd like it. I liked it a lot. I like to always recommend things you should be playing, so I'm going to do that now. These are things that are crossing my controller sticks and keyboards recently, and as much as I've been playing a ton of Marvel Heroes, I beat Doctor Doom the other night. There's still plenty more to play in that game, but I'm getting there. Also, lots of Rogue Legacy. I already mentioned that, and a lot of Broforce. And what else? There was something on the PS4 we were playing. Oh, we're still playing Towerfall as often as humanly possible with four of us, because that's a blast. But this week I'm going to recommend another Sony experience. I don't have an Xbox One yet, so you're not going to hear me recommending a lot of Xbox One games until I get one, which I will eventually. Right now, they just need to give me a good reason. They haven't given me one yet. The Zen-like experience that I get from Pixel Junk Shooter is still kind of singular. No other games really do this for me as well. And if you didn't play it on the PS3 when it came out as new years ago, I recommend picking it up now. It's cheap. I think it was even free for Plus users, so you may have downloaded it and just never went and opened it. It's on Vita and PS4 and is cross-play compatible. The PS4 version has revamped graphics. It looks real sweet. And the Vita version is basically the PS3 version, but looks great in its own right. And I just find it zen-like and calming and infinitely replayable, and I never get tired of playing it. So go give it a shot. Pixel Junk Shooter. What is old is new again. That's my grandma used to say. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Or not this week's. We got two this week. We got one today, and then we got one Thursday. So come on back for that. Frogpants.com/boop is our web address. There are web playable versions of these episodes and show notes there. I mean, you probably get it through apps and other ways. And of course, that stuff's all there. But, you know, if you want to go over there, check it out. You surely can. Frogpants.com/boop. That's BOOP. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, @boopshow. Give us a call. We love your calls. 206-339-1320. We'll play them on the show. 206-339-1320. Ask anything you want. There are no rules. You can also check out our Reddit doc or our Reddit subreddit thing, whatever you call it. It's just called subreddits. And by the way, I used some stories from there this week. So I apologize for not giving credit where it is due, but I will do that more. Anyway, if you want to contribute new stories you think we should be covering here on the Boop Show, you can do that. Boopshow.reddit.com. All right? All right. You can call just something new. You can catch streaming repeats of this show at alphageekradio.com. I highly recommend that. That's good stuff over there at alphageekradio.com. And our music brought to you by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. Music for a 1950s video game in music stores now. You can go get it. Check it out. Get it for yourself. It's rad. You can also support the show by supporting stuff and buying things at the Frog Pants store. Mugs, shirts, prints, accessories, mouse pads, whatever, man. It all goes to the bottom line and helps this show stay on the air. Glad you guys are enjoying it. Can't wait to do this again. We'll see you next week, unless you have other plans. Do you? No? All right. Not next week. Keep saying that. How about Thursday? Be here Thursday for another Boop Show. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Hey, Scott, this is Ben. Like the Boop Show. Thanks.